Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Are you ready to receive from the Lord tonight? Glory to Jesus. Such a great honor to be here this evening to share with us the Word of God. I want to appreciate the leadership of the Scripture Union here in Bayelsa State for having us. Like you said, we were on the road from morning over 12 hours to be here this evening. I came with my brother, Pastor Victor Ogbe. I trust that the Lord will do us real good this morning. You are tired, you are exhausted, but don't bother. Just yield to the Holy Spirit. There are different energy levels in working with the Spirit of God. Most times when you are exhausted in the natural, that's when you yield to the Holy Spirit. So you are tired, you are exhausted. Why not try out another energy level? Hallelujah. Just lift your hands toward heaven and worship the Lord. Thank you, Father. The hour has come where we look up to you, O ancient monarch of Zion. And we cry to you this morning that you will pour upon us, Lord, your bounties, so that our infirmities will be swallowed up. Even as we look up to you, Lord, we trust that we'll be transformed from glory to glory. Precious Father, cause us to walk into depths in the Spirit, where the true essence of our realities will begin to find expression. That place in the Spirit where every one of us sees you as you are, and you interact with us with the peculiarities that you fashioned into us when you designed us, so that every one of us will become relevant even in the course of advancing your kingdom in this realm. Thank you, Holy Spirit. We give you praise, we give you glory. Thank you, Father. Just whisper something to the Lord now from the depths of your heart before we sit down in the next moment to receive the Word of God. Our brother was leading the prayer, and his emphasis was on expectation. It's a law in the Spirit. The Bible said, without every contradiction, the less is blessed of the better. But the blessings of God are predicated on the nature of expectations that we have. He said, your expectations shall not be cut short. Do you have an expectation this morning? Or is just another vigil as usual? If you have an expectation, give it expression. Vocalize your expectations. And ask the Lord to visit you this night. Ask the Lord to visit you this morning. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. We give you glory. We share the word of the Lord briefly before we begin to pray. My brother and friend, Pastor Emmanuel, thank you for having me. The Lord is going to be blessing us this morning. Hallelujah. This morning, we are going to consider a topic for the next 1 hour. I'll just open scriptures before we begin to pray. This is Scripture Union, so we are a people of scriptures. Hallelujah. We are talking about a supernatural kind of service. My theme scripture is Acts chapter 1 verse 8. The Bible said, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, in all Judea, in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the world. It's a kind of service that we have been invited into to provide witness to the person, the life of Jesus Christ. There are many things that we can do because we have natural abilities to do them. There are many things that we can carry out even in the house of God because we sustain the natural ability to do them. Just give me floating sound on the keyboard. But for service to be consistent with the standard of heaven, there must be a supernatural element that facilitates that operation in your life. It doesn't take anything for me to talk, because as a human being, it's natural for me to talk. So the same way I talk about a footballer, it's possible for me to come and talk about Jesus, because I'm a human being and I can talk. And if I know anything about Jesus at all, I could talk about Jesus. But the systems of the Spirit is not designed that way. Before you carry out a service to satisfy the standard of immortal spirits, those spirits themselves must give you the capacity to render such services before you can pass their scales. And that is why talking and witnessing for Jesus are two different things. The content may be the same, but the spirit that powers the utterance is what makes the difference. I could come and tell you Jesus loves you because I heard about the love of God. And somebody else may come to you and say Jesus loves you because that utterance was inspired by the Holy Spirit. The first may be a news that is coming to you. The second will come with the spirit life. And that second word, as simple as it sounds, may have the ability to change your life forever. The difference is predicated upon the element of the spirit that is communicated in your word. And so when we talk about service in the house of God, we talk about service enabled by supernatural elements. And that is what the emphasis of the scripture in Acts chapter 1 verse 8 is all about. You could be singing here because you have a good voice. And because you have a good voice, you sing and people enjoy it so much because you have a good voice. And then you have an advantage of musical instrumentalists to give support and harmony to your voice, and people will be blessed. But if the veils of the supernatural are opened, you may realize that what God has planted in you that you give expression through your voice is not just designed to make people feel excited in a church service. On the strength of the supernatural element that is imputed in your voice, maybe consistent with the ordination of God for your life, is that whenever you sing, there should be an impartation of the Spirit to the people that hear you. It could be that whenever you sing, gifts of the Spirit should be activated. So for you, singing is not about blessing people in the service. Every time you are on the microphone, God is out to activate spiritual gifts. So people may come for a service, and because they sat under your ministration, the healing anointing is activated in their lives. You may sing all your life, but you may never touch your ordination. Because for you, singing is not a melody you are making because you have a good voice. For you, singing is an institution that the Lord have weaved through your voice so that through you, God can carry out activity among humankind. The day you begin to sing by the help of the Holy Spirit, and gifts of the Spirit begins to activate in the life of people, that is when your singing will amount to anything special in the corridor of God. But if you judge what you do in the natural, you may sing and become famous and popular, but the Spirit that takes the score for what you do may not give you any grade in eternity. And then you will show up in eternity at the end of time and realize you sang and became a popular vocalist that is known all around the region. But in heaven, you will not be popular among the immortals. The difference is because you were rendering a spiritual service by natural abilities. The Bible said, how be it? They say, when the Spirit of truth is come. There is something that is supposed to begin to happen in your life because you have received of the Holy Spirit. That is when you gravitate from natural ability to supernatural ability. But Christianity has been reduced to a set of religious cliches and instruction. So people gain mastery of supernatural things working out in natural elements. And that is why our Christianity does not have the power to challenge darkness. He said, when you receive the Holy Ghost, you will receive an ability. The word power in that scripture is the word dunamis. But dunamis is not just an ability you have on your inside. Dunamis in this context, as touching the service of God, is the enablement of the Spirit. There are many that have the Holy Ghost, but they don't have the enablement of the Spirit. You were reading the scripture about the woman with the issue of blood. The Bible says virtue went out of him. The word virtue used in that scripture is the word dunamis. In Luke chapter 6 verse 19, the Bible said, everybody sought to touch him. He said, and as they touched him, virtue went out of him and healed them all. You could do everything you do in the natural, but when it comes to the service of God, it must be by the ability of the Holy Spirit. Jesus had this understanding. So there was a way he patterned his life to make sure he come to that place where the ability of God begins to find expression through him. Are you the preacher that you think opening scripture is a function of intelligence, and then you are a master of exegesis? So you preach, and then because your utterance sound intelligent, you think you have fulfilled the quota of the supernatural. If you check with heaven, you'll be amazed. Because if that ability of God does not move from within you to the people may be excited because they are emotional beings. But on the scale of the divine, you may not be doing what is in the heart of the Father. Tonight we are looking at a service that comes from the womb of the Spirit. This is where we become humble. Because an orator may be in church, but he will not be qualified to preach the gospel. Because he will realize for the first time that preaching the gospel is not a function of oratory. The gospel is a witness. A man comes to a point where his life becomes a theater through which you can look and perceive the dimensions of God. It has nothing to do with oratorial power. It is an utterance of the Spirit. So the man depends on God because he knows that his intelligence does not contribute to the quota in these matters. These matters, only the immortal sustain the capacity to open the gate for you. So every time you come to preach, even though you are very intelligent with scripture, you wait on the Lord crying because you know you need to be helped. It's a kind of service that is not available to humankind. Only the Spirit of God enables men to do it. What service are you rendering in the house of God? You see, the reason people become so proud about what they do in the house of God, because they do it on the strength of their natural abilities. Anything you do by the ability of the Holy Ghost, you die doing it. Every time you are granted, every day I come to preach, I come trembling. Because most of the times, even the message is given to me while I'm standing on the altar. Because I know what I know in my head cannot change the life of anybody. It is what the Holy Ghost is telling that person part time that has the capacity to change him. Is it good to exercise yourself in God? Yes. But for you to serve the Lord, it is the Spirit that works in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. It's an enablement that comes from God. And many Christians are not taught. That's why you can leave Facebook and jump to the pulpit and begin to preach, because you think it's a function of intelligence. That's why you can leave the market and you jump. I'm late for church. You carry the mic. You begin to sing because you think there are songs you know. You don't understand what we call the ministration of the Spirit. A man comes to a point where he yields to God so that God can flow through him. It's a kind of service that is lacking today in the body of Christ. There are things we must do to come to that point where the power and the ability of the Holy Ghost can flow through us. That is what I will show you from scripture this evening. So you know how men serve God supernaturally. In Acts chapter 6, the Bible said from verse 3, it said, when the company of the people became large, crisis began to come in. The apostles needed to set two challenges. And they said, it's not good for us to leave the matters of the Spirit and give ourselves to tables. He said, select from among you men of good report, full of the Holy Ghost. He said, let them attend to this matter. He said, but we will give ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And in verse 5, the Bible said, they selected 7 men of honest report. And when they came to Stephen, they said Stephen was full of the Holy Ghost and faith. Full of the Holy Ghost and faith, Stephen was qualified to serve tables. But a point came where God needed Stephen to do something that was beyond his natural abilities. Serving tables he could do by being a man full of the Holy Ghost and faith. But there is another level of service that you have to contain something that is virtue. You need to abstract virtue from the Holy Ghost to carry out that one. And in verse 8, the Bible said, Stephen, full of the Holy Ghost and power. At this time, the Holy Ghost that Stephen had, something had happened to it. The Holy Ghost had become a virtue that could flow through Stephen. And he said, Stephen began to do the same thing that the apostles were doing. What happened to Stephen? The Holy Ghost had become power. There are many Christians that are full of the Holy Ghost today, but the power dimension of the Holy Ghost is not at work. And when I talk power, I'm not talking about you come from meeting and people are falling down. No. I'm talking about doing the assignment of God for your life by the abilities of God. Men may not even see it tangibly, but what you are doing, there will be a supernatural dimension to it that makes what you are doing to produce results that only God can produce. If you have not come to that point, then witnessing is not a part of your life. It doesn't matter how long you have been in church. At the age of 17, Timothy was ordaining elders, because this is a service that comes from the realm of the divine. People are not taught the ways of God. We live our lives the way we wish, and then we think the same ability we use to relate with men is the same ability we use to relate with spirit. It doesn't work like that. I can meet my brother and gist with him as a man, but when I want to speak for a spirit, I need to be enabled, because I'm shifting dimensions. And most of you here that have the witness that God wants to use you, you need to subscribe to the protocol that I'm about to reveal to you. Because whether your walk with God will count, will depend on the degree to which God can flow through you, not the degree to which you know about God. Paul said, we know God. He said, but more importantly, we are known of God. He has come to a point where his legal intelligence was no longer relevant. This guy was trained by the best in his day. But when he encountered God, the Bible said, he went to the wilderness of Arabia. And as he returned from there, he said, when he pleased the Father to reveal the Son in me. So what Paul was teaching, he was not teaching it because he studied the Torah. Paul was teaching because the Father revealed the Son in him. So he was communicating the revealed Christ that God gave to him. That was why Paul was the only one that could bring the dimensions of the church to bear. The apostles did not understand it. Even when they gathered in the Jerusalem council after the Holy Ghost came, after Cornelius was baptized, they were still troubling Peter. How dare you enter the family of the Gentiles? What did you mingle with these people? They had no understanding, because they were still trying to brainstorm on supernatural possibilities. And he said, No. Peter lived with them for many years. Even when he went to Antioch, he was eating with the Gentiles, and people came from Jerusalem, and Peter hid himself, because they had no revelation. But there was a man who entered the wilderness, and God revealed Jesus to him. And Paul began to talk about mysteries that were hid before the foundations of the world. How did he know these things? There was something at work in him. I want to show you something this morning that will make you understand that Christianity is beyond pulpit. Because I know many young people that think it's about microphone. Jesus did not do Christians. He did not carry out service so much in the synagogue. Most of the things he did in the market. He did in the schools. Because when the supernatural flows through you, you don't need a corporate gathering to express God. Everywhere you stand, you become a pillar and a witness to the existence of God. Many people are not witnesses. We are churchgoers. We are religious people. So when we gather among ourselves, we show things that we have learned.
things that we have mastered in our senses. But if we are in the market, we cannot prove Jesus. If we are in the school, we cannot prove Jesus. If we are in the offices, we cannot prove Jesus. That's because the supernatural dimension is not there. When you come to church, you can tell people to praise the Lord, lift your hand, they will follow. You don't tell people that in the market. It is the supernatural that flows through you that they look out for. And that's why there are many Christians who cannot demonstrate God in their world. We are religious people, we think we are spiritual. It's a, their words are bad. And as young people, for us to journey far in God and count, there are many things we need to learn. Because our world will continue to journey in darkness unless a new species of people rise. A generation has passed. God is anointing a new generation. And if we don't understand the genuineness of walking with God, even this generation will be lost before we begin. Because there are a lot of garbages, arrogance, all kinds of folly demonstrated by young people. We think ministry is now a Facebook thing. So you come on Facebook, you write one funny revelation, and then you share it everywhere, and you think you are doing ministry. We don't understand that this thing is about life. What do you do to host the life of God? What do you do to be able to steward the dimensions of the Spirit? If you check yourself, you've been in church for close to 10 years, how much of God can you demonstrate? If you are the only Christian in Bayelsa today, will there be a witness for Jesus? What if there is no organized church system anymore? Can you be a representative of Jesus? How much of Jesus can you demonstrate in your family? How much of Jesus can you demonstrate in your school? How much of Jesus can you demonstrate in your offices? That's the proof that there is something supernatural working at you in your life. And that's when you can begin to render service before the spirit of the mortal ones.
You reign, you ancient Zion's king, Kadosh, Kadosh. You are mighty on your throne. You reign, you ancient Zion's king, Kadosh, Kadosh. You are mighty on your throne.
What is working in your life that is the Holy Ghost that powers it? Is there anything you can point in your life that you know this one is the Holy Ghost that is making it work? If there is nothing like that, it means your journey is far. Your journey is far. We only brag and pride ourselves in things that form our natural advantage. What of your spiritual advantage? Where are they? Where are your spiritual tools and resources? We reduce Christianity to advice, counseling, Christianity. The business of spirits, you think is at the level of advice. There's a place for advice. There's a place for counseling. But brother, if you cannot relate with the spirit that powers life, you are a joker. Do you think Jesus was holy because he was advised not to live carelessly? The Bible said it was the spirit of holiness that was at work in him. That's why he couldn't fall. You advise young ladies, do you know what is happening in the campuses? There are princes that rule over those territories. That's why many virgins are disflowered before their matriculation. Because the advice fails in the presence of a spirit. So you want to secure somebody in God, teach that person the way of the spirit. Because when he enters into an atmosphere that is predominated by spirit reality, everything you talk, the person will collapse. There are spirit realities and Christians are not taught. They are not taught. We talk. That's why nowadays many young preachers are living in secret sin. Many are living in secret sin. Because we think being a preacher is about a show where you come to church and compose yourself. So demons make a mess of people. If you check the secret life of many people, it stinks. Because we don't understand that these things are businesses of spirits. We have only been invited to participate with those spirits. So we must learn their ways and cooperate with their government so that they can flow through us. If the Holy Ghost begins to flow through you by righteousness, it will no longer be a rule and regulation thing to live righteously. Righteous living will become your lifestyle because it will be an effulgence of the nature of the Holy Spirit.
You reign, you ancient Zion's King. Kadosh, Kadosh, you are mighty on your throne. You reign, you ancient Zion's King. Kadosh, Kadosh, you are mighty on your throne.
Every one of us was designed for a specific assignment. Every one of us. Four of us could be prophets, but we have very definite and peculiar assignment. We are not the same. Our beauty is in our peculiarity, but our strength is in our harmony. The only way our diversity can be harmonized to build a system that represents God is when all of us begin to walk by the Spirit. Every time flesh appears, it truncates the operation of God. No matter how beautiful it looks like. If one person is in the flesh, it can compromise the integrity of our corporate persona. One person. Every one of us must be taught the way of the Spirit. Jesus, the Son of God, lived like that. It didn't matter if he was the Word. He lived like that. There is a rigid government the Holy Ghost will bring upon your soul if you will serve him. Remember, he said you shall receive the Holy Ghost and power. Stephen was full of the Holy Ghost and faith. Stephen was full of faith and power. What happened to Stephen? That the Holy Ghost became power. It's a system in the Spirit. It's a system in the Spirit. Jesus came to this world to be the light of the world. The reason he came was so that men who were in darkness could see light. What did Jesus do before he became light? John chapter 1 verse 1. It said, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life. The life was the light of men. What did the Word do that the Word became light? Because when he came as the Word. A point came, he became the light. He said, they that dwelt in the shackles of death, a great light is sprung forth. What happened to the Word that it became light? It is a government of the Holy Spirit. Many does not subscribe to that government. So we come to talk from our brain. We come to pray with our abilities. That's why you pray for 30 minutes, you become tired. If you pray by the strength of the Holy Ghost, the more you pray, the stronger you should become. Why? Because we are supposed to build up ourselves upon our most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. So, praying in the Holy Ghost is supposed to invigorate you. But why do you pray and you get weary? Because you are using adenosine triphosphate. And the more you use natural strength, you will deplete the starch. And when you deplete it, you will become weak. You have not learned how to pray by the strength of the Spirit. There is something you touch in God that you begin to spend from the resources of heaven. That's when your life becomes an endless beauty. There is something you touch. I want to show you what you must touch that will make you travel beyond the scriptures you have in your brain. You will begin to talk rhema because the Holy Ghost himself will be talking through you. There is something you need to touch where you will begin to spend from the economy of the divine. It's called the government of the Holy Ghost. If you don't come under the government of the Holy Ghost, your service is a waste. It's a waste. Your motivations cannot be tamed. Your convictions cannot be defined. Your essence cannot be evaluated. Because you'll be doing things based on different kinds of lust. Many things will be in error. Jesus lived for 30 years. He could not witness to anybody. He was in the synagogue at the age of 12. The Bible said he asked the doctors of the law questions and he answered them. These guys could not answer him. He asked the questions. He ended up answering them at the age of 12. So if it was about intelligence, Jesus was ready for ministry. Why did he wait for 30 years? It's a government. He said that child Jesus grew in wisdom, in stature, and in favor before God and before men. Why did he not start ministry? He knew. You know, as the word of God, there were many things Jesus could say without reading. He didn't need to read anything. As the word of God,
He was the Logos made flesh. So Jesus could just come and begin to talk, and everything he says will be the word of God. Just think about it for a moment. So Jesus didn't need to do anything. Just go out and begin to preach, because he was the word of God. As the creator, Jesus could just begin to... It was possible for him to just begin to demonstrate power. And creation will bow to him. Why? Because he's the creation. He's the creator. Remember, the Bible said, in the beginning was the word. He said, the word was with God. And the word was God. Three credentials. One, he is the word. As the word, he knew the mind of the Father. So Jesus doesn't need to read to teach. He doesn't need to read to preach. Two, he was the creator. As the creator, he had power over creation. And three, he said he was equal with God. As equal with God, it means he had a status that was beyond humankind. But why did he not begin to manifest? Jesus understood that for service to be recorded in heaven from the earth, it must come through the Holy Ghost. That's why everything he did by the Holy Ghost. The Bible said in Acts chapter 1 verse 2, he said after he gave commandment through the Holy Spirit to his disciples. So every word Jesus was speaking for it to be recorded in eternity, it had to come from the womb of the Spirit. The Bible said he gave himself up in the Spirit. The Bible said the works that I do, it is the Father that is in me that doeth them. So everything Jesus did in time, it was through the veil of the Holy Spirit. It was from the womb of the Holy Spirit. So everything he is apart from the Holy Spirit will not count. In this realm, anything you do outside of the Holy Ghost doesn't count. Jesus knew it. That was why he had to first of all submit himself to the Holy Spirit. To the degree that even everything he said through the Holy Spirit. Everything he did through the Holy Ghost. Until even dying, he died by the Holy Spirit. Even the eternal sacrifice of his blood, the Bible said he gave it through the Holy Ghost. There was nothing Jesus did outside of the Holy Spirit, because he knew, even though he was co-equal with the Father, for his services to be recorded in time, it must be through the Holy Ghost. So he yielded to the government of the Holy Spirit. The first way to activate the supernatural dimension of God in your life is to come under the government of the Holy Ghost. That was why Jesus, 30 years before he began his ministry, the first place he went to was to go to Jordan. And in Matthew chapter 3 from verse 15, he went to John to be baptized. And John said, no. This is an error. I should be baptized of you. Why? John was looking at him as what? As the world. John was looking at him as the creator. John was looking at him as being equal with God. But Jesus was teaching John and humankind something. That so long as you are in time, unless you do what the Holy Ghost intends, you will not pass the test of the mortals. So he said, suffer it to be so for now. He said, thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. So the divine standard can only be met when every being in creation come under the will of the Holy Spirit. So I'm not disputing the fact that I'm the Word. I know I'm the Word. You are right. I'm not disputing the fact that I'm creator. I know I'm creator. You are right. And I'm not disputing the fact that I'm co-equal with the Father. I know. He said, but for this service to be accepted in heaven, it must be consistent with the government of the Holy Spirit. How do you know it was the Holy Ghost? The moment he was baptized, he said in Matthew 4:1, he said the Holy Ghost led him into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. So his coming to that baptismal service was the leading of the Holy Spirit. He said, come and bow, come and surrender. It is the way of death. That's when everything that makes you think you are special, you give it up willingly, so that everything that is of God can find expression through you. A man will remain proud unless he decides to put down everything he thinks is an advantage. That's where you see a man who is an orator. He comes to church and the service of God that time is for cleaner, and the orator will become a cleaner. Why? Suffer it to be so for now. This is where Christianity goes beyond doctrine into life. You know you are more schooled in scripture than everybody, but what is needed at that time is somebody that will arrange the chairs. What happened? Suffer it to be so for now. Because the church is not looking for people who are special.
is looking for people who are yielded to serve. And it is where the Holy Ghost wants you to serve part time that his government can render you. Jesus said, suffer it to be so for now. It's called the law of righteousness. Not many obey it. We come to church, we do what we want to do. You may be going to church to minister, and the Holy Ghost tells you, before you minister there, pray in tongues for 6 hours. You can choose not to pray in tongues. You will go there and you still preach, and at least one person will be blessed. But in heaven, there will be no record, because you didn't suffer it to be so for now. You have the knowledge of the Bible in your head, but the Holy Ghost says, pray for 6 hours. Because what the Holy Ghost wants to tell the people is at an energy level in the spirit. And until you subscribe to that prayer, you cannot download what the Holy Ghost is saying part time. So even though you have the knowledge of the scripture, what God is saying is in a place in the spirit. And until you fulfill that quota of prayer, you cannot decode what he's saying. And you can come and preach the Bible that you know, but you did not give expression to the voice of God that night. So there is no record in eternity. Jesus said, suffer it to be so for now. It's the first way of activating spiritual possibilities in a man. We will be full of talent, we will be full of gifts, but we wonder why God is not on the scene. Because we are not walking through the Holy Spirit. You see the lady singing so intelligently, so beautifully, the voice is so sweet, but it cannot move the hand of the immortals. Why? Because it is not through the Holy Spirit. His flesh will die. Have you come for a meeting before where you plan to move in power? For those of you who are preachers, you understand what I'm saying better. You have your message, you want to move in power. And then you came, and when you started talking, the Holy Ghost said, no, that's not what I'm saying. And then you change your message there. And then you talk, and the meeting is calm. And then the people that came to see you were disappointed, because they heard that you are a man of power. But the person the Holy Ghost wants to talk to, what he needs to hear is love. So the Holy Ghost said, talk love. And then you talk love quietly and you pack your bags and go away. That day, you may not have a high score with men, but you have a high score with spirit. And that's what counts. That's what Jesus knew. When Jesus was coming before John, you remember what John said? Behold the Lamb of God. They began to read the citation. Everybody. You would imagine what everybody was doing that time. Because there was no prophet in Israel for 400 years. John was the first voice that rose in 400 years. Everybody knew that John was a prophet of God. And here comes a man. And John said, this is the Lamb of God. What? Here comes a man. And John said, this is the one I spoke about. The one in whom I said, the latchet of his sandals I'm not qualified to lose. And then this man needs to come and kneel down before John. You may not understand what it means until God begins to carry out that protocol in your life. Where you were the president for 4 years, and then God now comes and says, no, go and turn to cleaner. You will not understand until you come to that point where flesh needs to be crucified. That's when you understand how people beg virtue. Virtue is born when flesh dies. It says, suffer it to be so for now. We are full of flesh. That's why so much cannot happen. We even come for meeting, we scatter, throw us so that tears scatter, so that we can satisfy the fact that people know we have power. But we are not even conscious about what God is doing part time, because we are full of flesh. Even when we are doing spiritual things, we cannot communicate virtue, because flesh is focus. The guy comes to minister, he's not conscious of what the Holy Ghost is saying. He wants to chat everywhere up so that everybody will fall down screaming. Let them say the guy is full of power. He has satisfied his ambition, but he doesn't know that the Father has something in mind. Men that serve in the kingdom are men that die to flesh. They only look out for what is pleasing to the Father. Concerning Jesus, the Bible said, in the volumes of the book, it is written of me, I come to do thy will. That's why the Son of God could die the death of a criminal. There were many times when Jesus was tempted to defend himself, but the Bible said he was quiet. Because he didn't come to give glory to himself. He came that the will of the Father will be done through him. So many times he will be quiet. There are times when things will happen, you just needed to say something and vindicate yourself. And the Holy Ghost said, keep quiet. You will be boiling inside. You will be boiling. Keep quiet. Everybody gives you a name for 2 years. You are dying. You are dying. You want to defend yourself. He said, keep quiet. He's teaching you how you will come to a point where you can become a conduit pipe through which his dimensions can flow through you. This is how men are made in the kingdom. There are people who go and recite scriptures about power. You will quote it for many years, you will not see the hand of God. You will believe it in your head, but your spirit can't conduct it. Because for your spirit to conduct it, you must come under the government of the Holy Ghost. For Jesus, he said, suffer it to be so for now. What is it the Lord is telling you to do that is still a struggle? You are praying and fasting to see God move through you. It will never happen until you come to the point where you say, suffer it to be so for now. It will cost you something. You must be shaped and chiseled by God to come to a point where you can conduct his dimensions. Many don't know because they are not taught. So we think it's all about doctrine. There is a place where Christianity becomes life. That's where it becomes personal. Where the Lord will tell you, he say, Emeka, do this. If you don't suffer it to be so for now, you will never be a candidate that the Lord will use. And it will be a shame because there is a move of God coming. And any young man who is not a part of it is already behind. Suffer it to be so for now. When you do that, something happens. In the spirit realm, you become visible. Listen, the devil is not threatened by every Christian. The devil is threatened only by Christians who are obedient to the Holy Ghost. Because he knows that people who are obedient to the Holy Spirit are the candidates that the Holy Ghost will use. God only uses people who are yielded. He doesn't use people who are special. Because it is his resources that we need to do what he wants you to do. Everything you have apart from him is rubbish. The Bible said it will be burned by fire. So the devil is afraid of a man that begins to obey God. The moment he checks your life and discovers whatever God says, you begin to obey, you become visible in his radar. And the moment that happened for Jesus, the next location for Jesus was the valley of temptation. That's why you begin to obey God and it looks as if life becomes more difficult. What is happening is that you have become visible in the radar. The principalities will spot you and say, Kai. Because everybody that's in the world, the Bible called them the sons of disobedience. Ephesians 2 verse 2. They are under the government of Satan. Who is this one that is choosing to obey God and not Satan? The moment it happens, your name appears in the radar, in the spirit. And the devil begins to trace you. He begins to trace you. And he traced Jesus and came to meet him in the valley of temptation. And the first thing he asked him, are you the son of God? Because only sons of God obey the will of God. Jesus said concerning the Pharisees, he said, you are sons of the devil and his will you will do. Any man who begins to obey God immediately sustains the status of the son of God. So the devil traced Jesus. The man appeared in the radar. Suddenly he found a man on earth who is willing to obey the Holy Spirit. Who is this man? And he began to locate him. But Jesus was wise. Before Satan came, he built his spirit man. There are many Christians who want to obey God, but they are not building themselves. That's why in the day of trouble you will faint. And the Bible says if you faint in the day of trouble, it's not because God is not faithful. It's because your strength is little. Jesus had better understanding. He knew the devil would come. So before the devil came, he embarked on 40 days prayer and fasting. Remember, he was not tempted while he was fasting and praying. The Bible said after he had fasted and prayed, he was afterwards and hungered, and the tempter came. So before the devil came, Jesus built himself. You have made up your mind to obey God. Now that you have chosen to obey God, what are you doing? The guy said, whatever God says to do, I will do. He came for the meeting. He laid down. He was crying. Lord, have your way in my life. And the next day, he's on Facebook chatting for 4 hours. You'll be a puppet in the hands of the devil because you don't understand the implication of the decision you have made. Every time you make a decision for God, you have made a decision against the devil. And there is no middle ground. Either you are an enemy of God or you are an enemy of the devil. If you are an enemy of the devil, he will come for you. He will come. So while you choose God, the next thing to do is to begin to build yourself in prayer and in fasting. Jesus stayed there for 40 days and 40 nights. He was imputing substance into himself. He was building stature in the spirit. He was incubating himself in the spirit. Nobody was talking to him. The Bible said he was in the wilderness with the wild beast. Remember, the angels came after he passed the temptation. Most of us are fasting and praying and then we are closing one eye. We want to see light appear from the wall. The light doesn't show while you are fasting and praying. It is when you begin to pass spiritual tests
That's when you begin to have those encounters, because the angels come to strengthen you. Jesus was fasting and praying for 40 days. All he had were white beasts, but he didn't bother himself, because at that time he didn't need a distraction of an encounter. He needed to build his spirit. Most of us here, the Holy Ghost is giving us specific instruction on what to do in this season to build ourselves. Your own may be study the word, study the word, study the word. Every day the Holy Ghost is saying study, study. You say, Kai, I will read the Bible today. You go and carry the New Testament. You divide it into 14 chapters every day. You say, between January, I will read the first four books. And then you plan everything in your head, no obedience. There are some of us that the Holy Ghost has been troubling us. Say, pray, 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 pray. Some fast, fast, fast. Some give, give, give. You will shut it down and you'll be doing Christianity because you think it's religion. You don't know that God is bringing you into a place of intimacy. For Jesus, the Bible said the Spirit led him into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. He said, therefore, he fasted and prayed for 40 days and 40 nights. I didn't come today to do matters of doctrine, because you don't disciple people in one night. But I came to show you how to activate your spiritual potentials. You will obey the law of righteousness. And when you are done, you will build your spirit man. It is your responsibility. In Leviticus 6:12, he said the fire on the altar must not be put out. He said the priest must put wood on it every morning. You are the one who put wood. It's not God. So what God is telling you to do, that prayer God is telling you to pray, better pray now. Because if you don't pray now, you will pray tomorrow for deliverance. The prayer you are supposed to pray now to build stature with God, if you don't pray now, you will pray tomorrow for deliverance. Jesus had understanding. So he prayed and fasted before the devil came. What is it the Lord is flashing in your heart? He said, do, do, do. And you are procrastinating. You say, I will do it next week. And next week has become next month. Next month has become next year. There is no time. The Bible said today is the day of salvation. After you choose to obey God, the next thing you do is what? You build your spirit. You build your spirit. You build your spirit. Because the tempter will come. And when the tempter comes, instead of falling, it becomes a ground of promotion. Temptations are meant for people who are developed for their promotion. But men who are not built is a place of falling. So every time you fall, you did not fall because the devil was strong. You fell because you didn't build yourself. That temptation was the strategy of God to promote you. Because for Jesus, three came. Three different temptations. The same temptation that Adam fell in the garden. What was the difference between Jesus and Adam? It was preparation. Both of them were tempted for the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. But why did Jesus stand and Adam fell? It was preparation. Adam was gallivanting in the garden and enjoying himself. Jesus was fasting and praying. So when the devil came with the same temptation, Jesus was promoted. Adam lost his authority. It was from that promotion that the Bible said concerning Jesus that he went in the power of the Spirit. But it was from the same promotion, from the same temptation, that the Bible said Adam lost his authority to the devil. What you call a fall, what you call a temptation, is a divine orchestration for your promotion. The difference is your level of preparation. When a man begins to have periodic temptation from the devil, what he should know is that his time of temptation of promotion is due. And the devil is aware, so he comes before God. And God allows it like that. Because every man in this world must be tested. The Bible said, I, the Lord, I test the reins. I try the heart to give unto every man as his way should be. So promotions come to people who pass tests. Promotion is not available to everybody. It's only available to men that pass the test of the divine. And for Jesus, he passed the test because he prepared himself. What is the level of preparation you have now? Most times when in church, they give us position because there are no people. Because the youth, maybe nobody is on ground who is ready to serve God. You are the only person who comes for service. They say, become youth president. And you think you have stature. You are joking. Because the moment you leave that church and go out, you can't represent God. It's not about church. This thing is about territories. When the devil comes, he fights the systems. He fights the territories. It is in the territory that our life is lived. How many hours do you spend in church? You go to your workplace 5 times in a week. And you spend roughly 6 to 7 hours. That's where your life is lived. That's where the devil will wait for you. When you come to the church, for example, you are among people. So the devil knows that you will even pretend.
And even if you are not pretending, there is security from corporate alignment. The devil will fight you when you are at home with your wife. You are at home 7 times, 7 days a week. You are at home in your house every day. That is where you are not ashamed to hide yourself. If you want to know who a man is, ask the wife. He will tell you, forget. Those things happening in church is a show. He knows that man because that is who he is at home. So we don't build our spirit. And if our wives, our brothers and our sisters know us, do you think it's principalities that don't know you? They watch you. They watch out for you. Jesus said that prince of this world cometh to me and findeth nothing. These are the tests he passed before his life became a chamber. And the moment Jesus left the mountain of temptation, the Bible said his fame went abroad. Instantly, Jesus will see the blind people that he was seeing in Nazareth since he was a child and he could do nothing about. And he said, open. And then the blind eyes open. You stand up because you read in the Bible that Jesus told the blind eye to open. Then you come, you lay hand, you say, open. And he said, you check. Are you seeing anything? The person say nothing. You lay your 2 hands again. You say, open. Who told you it's trial and error? The man passed the test of righteousness. He passed the test of preparation. And he passed the test of the devil. When he returned, the Bible said he returned in the power of the Spirit. That is the virtue we are talking about. That's what you need for service. For the virtue of service to be activated in your life, you must pass the test of righteousness. That thing the Holy Ghost keeps telling you, you will obey it. The day you obey, that's the day you can serve God. Because the Bible said when your obedience is fulfilled, then you can avenge other disobedience. That preparation the Holy Ghost has been summoning you into, you must prepare yourself. And then you will prove to the devil that you are truly the child of God. At that time, virtue flows naturally. That was when Jesus came and told the deaf ear to open. And the deaf ear could no longer stop. Because the devil that was in the deaf ear tempted him on the mountain and he defeated him. He saw a woman, he said, ought not this woman, the daughter of Abraham. We are all the seeds of Abraham. But why is one having authority and another one doesn't have? It is the protocol that they obey. You come for a meeting, somebody is praying, one believer is praying for another believer to be healed. What is the difference? It is the virtue that flows through them. Both of them have the same authority in Christ. Both of them have the name of Jesus at their disposal. Both of them have eternal life in their spirit. Both of them have the faith of the Son of God. What is the difference? In some cases, both of them even know the same scripture. The difference is the virtue that flows. Meanwhile, healing is supposed to be for children who are not grown. But a man who obeys God and takes responsibility in the kingdom, he grows, he's no longer a child. At that time, he can administer healing. That's why one believer can pray for another believer. The difference is the flow of virtue. The flow of virtue. And that is what will determine what God will have you do in this kingdom. You can fight for position in the church because it is done. Because many churches have become very big institutions. People fight for position to become bishops and all of that. Men can honor you, but the honor of spirits come to men who pass their test. Not many Christians are willing to go through the process. We carry big Bibles to show people that we are readers of the Bible. But there is something beyond reading the Bible. We talk so much so that people will think we know God. The knowledge of God is an experience of his reality. A man who goes through the fire with the Holy Ghost is the man that can truly tell that the Holy Ghost saves in time of trouble. It is a man who goes through the valley with the Holy Ghost that can tell the saving grace of God. And what God wants you to do is to journey with him so that he will teach you how your hand can become strong. The service of God is predicated upon the virtue that flows through your life. And the virtues that flow through your life is predicated upon the laws that you obey. Jesus showed us 3 things. He said you must pass the test of righteousness. You must pass the test of preparation. And you must pass the test of the devil. Every man that passes these 3 tests, the life of God flows through him naturally. These are not things we force. These are things that we are because they flow through us on account of our nature. But how will that gate open? It is when you follow the Holy Spirit. That's why the Holy Ghost comes to you as a government. The Bible said, except a man be born again, he cannot perceive the kingdom of God. That means when a man is born again, the first thing God does is that he brings him under a government. That man is still schooled by darkness. What he knows in his mind are the things that he heard from his grandfather, the things that he picked from the street by societal educational system. But when he comes into the kingdom, he begins to perceive a new syllabus, and the Holy Ghost comes to teach him the ways of God. But many reject the way of God and they want to move in the power of God. It doesn't work like that. This morning we will pray. This is just the first capsule. We will pray this morning. Because if God will use us to do anything meaningful, it is to the degree of our yieldedness. It is not how long we've been in church. It is not even a function of the position we bear in church. It's not a function of what men call us. It is a function of who we are with God. And God knows his own to the degree that they yield to him. When God calls, will you be there to answer? When God has a need, can he bank on you? For Jesus, he was a free theater. Jesus said, the works of my Father, I must do. He said, and I must do it while it is day, for the night cometh when no man walketh. Paul said, for woe unto me, woe. Do you know what it means? I am cursed if I don't do the work of God. How do men get to such a place where their life doesn't count anymore? Only what God wants them to do matters to them. A man will look up and say, woe unto me. He said, for necessity is laid on me to preach the gospel. What can you say about the work of God that is in your hand? Have you come to a point where you say, let me be cursed if I don't do what God will have me do? Or you are still at a point where you are struggling. Say, Lord, this thing is hard. Man, my brother, this thing will be small, you know. Not small. In the days of this man, sometimes for months, every night they pray for nations. Every night, Paul will stand up and say to a church, he say, I thank my God that I pray in tongues more than all of you. How much sacrifice goes into prayer? How can one man pray more than a congregation? Some of them, there were nights for years that they never slept. He said, my little children, of whom I travail again in prayer until Christ be formed in you. That's a father. For him, fatherhood is not a title. Fatherhood is to really beget people in the spirit. And the way to do it is to travail in prayer. So there were years where Paul could not sleep. Even while he was in prison, he had burden for Timothy. It was in prison he wrote letters to Timothy, letters to Titus. How do they come so deep in God that the burden of God becomes their burden? At some point, what they needed to do was to obey the Holy Ghost. A point came when their heart became one with the Holy Spirit. So anything the Father wanted to do, he could use them willingly. These men gave up their lives. He said, Paul and Barnabas. He said, these be the men that hazarded their lives for the gospel. What are you willing and can do for God? The service of the martyrs is not a function of skill and dexterity. You may be good at decoration, but it's deeper than decoration. You may be good at singing, it's deeper than singing. What can you do for God? And what compartment of service can you stand and the life of God can flow through you? Let's stop bragging of how long we've been in church. Let's stop bragging of titles. To what degree can God be seen through your life? How many people have been affected because of your life? I've read stories that made me sleep, go through nights without sleeping. How that man like Reinhard Bonnke will come to a store, nobody knew him. And then he wants to buy something and somebody looks at him and begin to cry. And he say, Lord, why is the person crying? And he say, because he saw me in your eyes. Men go to a level where they don't need to talk about Jesus. The breath from their nostril preaches Jesus. If you look at their eyes, God will touch you. How do men get to that point? Men like A.A. Allen will come to a demoniac and he will say, I am A.A. Allen, and a demon will flee. How do they get there? Is it not the same God we serve? A man will come to a point where he's willing to die for the gospel to be preached. The same gospel that I'm struggling to give my money for. And then I hope to go to the same heaven with them and share in the glory. Am I not joking? No wonder we shout so much in our services. We labor to have many speakers and volume, yet nothing happens. In their days, they had no speakers. One man shouting in the wilderness to 5,000 people, and the power of God is still moving. You are Yahweh. Hey, you are Yahweh.
Thank you, Father. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Can you whisper something to the Lord? Can you whisper something to the Lord? That teaching is in three folds. I just gave you the first fold.
Alpha, Omega, you are Yahweh. Alpha, Omega.
Just sit down for a moment. I just intended this evening, especially the young people in the house, to show us how God works with men. There's a way God works with men. There's a place of studying the word of God to know about the mind of God. But that will only bring harmony to your mind. What brings harmony to your spirit is your obedience to the Holy Spirit. That's why I use those illustrations to give you the first part of this teaching. Because Jesus was the Word. At the age of 12, the Bible already said he grew in wisdom, in favor, and in stature. So Jesus did not have a challenge with doctrine. He did not have a challenge with understanding. He knew everything about God. For Jesus to demonstrate the dimensions of God, he needed to go through the gate of obedience. It's important to understand doctrine. It's important to understand truth. But to walk in reality, we must obey the government of the Holy Spirit. And that's where many Christians are lacking. We talk righteousness, but we live in sin. And then to make things worse, we hide and sin. And the Bible said, the man that concealeth his sin shall not receive the mercies of God. So we hide it. Demons educate us. We now hide. What we should bring out and cry for mercy, we hide it. So we are enslaved for a long time. Obedience is too important in this kingdom. When the virtue comes, what do you do with it? That's the second phase of the teaching. Remember, you must pass the law of righteousness. The Holy Ghost will trouble you. I tell you the truth. He will not let you be. The reason is because there is something that was planted in you before the foundation of the world that the Holy Ghost will not let you be until that thing manifests. You may be a prophet, you may be a leader, you may be a singer, you may be a host of the presence of God, and is still in your spirit because you receive all spiritual blessings in Christ. The Holy Ghost will not let you. He wants it to manifest through your soul and in your life. That's why he will keep troubling you. And it's through obedience that it will be activated. So you must pass the law of righteousness. You must pass the law of preparation. And you must pass the test of the devil. All of this, the Holy Ghost will guide you through. But when the virtue is released, how do you manage it? We need to know how the virtue is activated. We need to know how the virtue is managed before we even talk about service. Because we can come here and say, serve God like this, serve God like this, serve God like this. And then you go, you say, okay, my own service to God is to pray for the sick. And then you pray for 3 years. And then not one person is healed. Those days when we started, you go and pray for somebody, you will sweat, and then you will feel the power of God on your body. When you leave, after 3 days, they will call you and say, man of God, that sister have died. Then you go back and cry. Why, Lord, why? When you prayed for the person, you felt goosebumps, goose pimples all over you. So you say, kai, kai, kai. The power of God was strong. After 4 days, they will call you and say, the sister couldn't make it. So it dawned on us that this thing is beyond sensation. It's a flow of virtue.
Healing is a virtue. He said many touched him and virtue flowed out of him. So that you charge and sweat. If virtue doesn't flow, nothing happens. I was telling my friend the other day, I say it's faith and virtue that produce results. Faith comes by the revelation of God's word. Virtue comes by the obedience of the Holy Spirit. So many know the revelation. They believe it, but they don't see results because virtue is not flowing. Many times that Jesus healed, the Bible says virtue flowed out of him. Jesus had faith. In fact, it's the faith of Jesus that you and I have. The Bible said we have the faith of the Son of God. But do we have the virtue of the Son of God? So as young preachers, we go preach, we pray for the sick. Sometimes we fast before we go there. And then we charge. When we are praying, it's as if the building will collapse. And then on the strength of that vibration and the feelings, we assume that this one, we make declarations. And when we leave, after 4 days, the person dies. So when we came back, checking with the Holy Ghost, what is wrong? What is wrong? Lord, we believe. We believe. We believe. That was when the Holy Ghost began to teach some of us. He said, there's no virtue. How do I walk in virtue? And God began to show me. You are full of disobedience. How can virtue flow? Is obedience now part of healing? I thought I have authority in the name of Jesus. They are organic realities. You will argue it until you go to the field of missions. You know, most of the things we argue in church is because we are in church. When we go to the mission field, the argument will stop. You will tell a young believer that it's not every demon that lives because you say Jesus, Jesus. And then the prayer will say, what do you mean? In the name of Jesus, every knee will bow. And then the sons of Sceva argued until they went to the field of mission. And before they called the name of Jesus, the demon called the name of Jesus for them. He said, Jesus, I know. So no need to call the name. You think when you call the name, then the demon will bow. Then the demon now called the name Jesus. Then your doctrine will collapse. You will now know that there is a role that obedience plays in this matter. You know, when Paul was teaching, Paul said, we are seated with Christ in heavenly places. Far above principalities and powers. That's Paul's teaching. So in the name of Jesus, and there is no argument, it's very correct. In the name of Jesus, you and I, we are far above principalities and powers. We have authority in the name of Jesus. We have authority over principalities and power. But there are two dimensions to the use of the name of Jesus. The first dimension is when we proclaim it. And then the authority is released. The second dimension is when we walk under his government. That's why the Bible said, we are gathered together. It's a where two or three are gathered in my name. That type is not to proclaim. That one is to stay under. So for you to have authority over principalities and powers, you don't just call the name of Jesus. You must be under the government of that name. That's why when Paul began to teach about the dynamics of warfare in Ephesians, the same Ephesians chapter 6, he said when you fight principalities, you use rhema. You don't use the name of Jesus. So the name of Jesus is the government that gives you authority over the princes. But the weapon you use to fight is the rhema of the Holy Spirit. And the rhema of the Holy Ghost comes to the ones that are in the spirit. So there are a lot of Christians in the flesh calling the name of Jesus. They don't see result. That's why I always tell people, we don't fight principalities with the name of Jesus. We have authority over them because we are under the name of Jesus. We fight them with rhema. That's why he said you fight with the sword of the spirit. So the name of Jesus is the government under which you have authority over principalities. But the tool of warfare is the rhema word. So a man who is not under the authority cannot do business in the spirit. And he will argue the doctrine with you until he goes to the field of mission. When you enter mission field, then you will learn some things better. When you see men doing exploits in the kingdom of God, my brother, check their life. They are first of all strong in life before they are strong in doctrine. The Bible said concerning Jesus, of what that he both began to do and teach. So you cannot transform anybody unless you yourself, the word of God, first of all, have transformed you. That's why there are not too many revivalists, because it's not about shouting, you are sinning, you will die. See, God hates you. You will shout like that. People will look at you and laugh. Unless that thing has authority over you first. And if it has authority over you, even if it's 5 minutes of your creed, people here, they will be set on fire. Because you are speaking from the womb of fire. The fire is burning in you. So when you talk, your words come with fire. You don't need to tell people, God will judge sin. When they hear you, they will sin will be choked in their life. Because we are talking fire. How do you manage the virtue of God? The first way to manage it is to engage it in prayer. Paul laid hands on Timothy and placed grace upon his life. But Paul told Timothy, he said, he should fan to flame. 1 Timothy 1 verse 6. He said he should fan to flame the gift of God that was in him. Fan it to flame. When you receive virtue, you don't just say, now I have the healing anointing. You will be surprised. That you will pray today, 50 people will be healed. And then you wake up tomorrow. And then you come and say, the Lord has put a rod of healing in my hand. And then you scream and not one person will be healed. Because the oil must be on fire. The virtue you receive from God must be on fire. Go and read about Jesus. Periodically, the man was praying. Periodically. In Matthew chapter 8 from verse 1, the Bible said he returned from the mountain. And the moment he returned from the mountain, he began to heal the sick. Instantly. The Bible said they brought a leprous person to him. He healed him. And then in verse 16, 17, the Bible said when the evening was come, they brought all that were sick and possessed of devils. He healed them all. And then suddenly another crowd came. The Bible said Jesus, when he heard that the crowd were there, he gave commandment that they should depart. Where did they depart to? They were going to the other side. He told the apostles to go. He went back to the mountain. They crossed the river. He met them and he met the Gadarene maniac. He rebuked the spirit and the guy was clean. He came back. The next day, he carried Peter, James, and John to the mountain. Jesus serviced the virtue that he has consistently with prayer. See, some people hear you talk and they say, okay, you have utterance. How do you flow with the utterance? They don't know. Before you come to preach, if you don't take time to pray in tongue for long, first, you will not enter into the realm of inspiration. You'll be talking and you'll be dry. Secondly, even your tongue will not be fluid. You will be wondering, how come I can't flow? Because you must service every grace that is given to you. And the first place to service grace is on the altar of prayer. Many Christians don't pray. That's why even the gift they have is as if it's lost. The gift is not lost. But the gift needs to be set ablaze all the time on the altar of prayer. That's why wise men pray as if their life depends on it. Babes go to pray to ask God for things. But the mature believers go to pray as a lifestyle. So that God flows through them unending. Many Christians don't have a life of prayer. And that's why even the things you have with God, you can't manifest it. For some of us, it's not like the virtue has not come. The virtue is there, but we can't demonstrate it. Because there's no prayer. Prayer is what sets your gifts on fire. The Bible calls the gift of the Spirit the manifestation of the Spirit. It is the flow, the charisma of the Holy Spirit. But for that charisma to find expression through you, you must constantly be in prayer. That's why I told you already. He said that priest is his responsibility to keep the fire burning. You have a gift from God. How well do you service it by prayer? It's not enough because spiritual things are not like this microphone that I have. Anytime I want to use it, I carry it. No. Spiritual things are a flow. They are a life. So they are expressed through intimacy. And one of the greatest ways to activate those possibilities is by prayer. A man who does not make prayer a lifestyle cannot flow so much in the things of the spirit, even though he has it. So you see men who are men of exploit. Most of the time, the reason is cast to see men of God. It's not because they just want to be alone so that when they come out, they will look. No. Brother, every time you talk, you release energy. You are not seen, you know, but that you are with people and you are just talking, you dissipate energy. And over time, even the things you have, you cannot operate from that realm. For you to operate, you will still have to build up in prayer. That's why Paul said, building up yourself, dude, upon your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. What you have, they are different energy level. You have mingled with men, you have talked and dissipated energy. If you want to operate from that height, you will still mount up. You mount up. He said, they that wait upon the Lord, he said, they shall mount up with wings. They mount up with wings like the eagle. Then they come to a place of sufficiency. That's why he said, they run, they don't faint. They walk, they don't get weary. Why? They've mounted up to the realm of God. told they walk from the sufficiency of God. Many believers don't make prayer a lifestyle. Let me tell you, what you will be in God largely depends on your everyday living. Everyday living determines what you will be in God. Most people spend almost all their time just talking idle words, and then they hope that one day they will become something with God. You are joking. You must be in constant conversation with the personality whose influence you want to predominantly manifest through you. Anybody you stay with for long, the influence of that person, whether you like it or not, will flow through you. That's why we make prayer a lifestyle, so that we keep engaging the Holy Spirit. When you come out, the charisma of the Holy Ghost flows through you naturally. Even the people in the negative supernatural knows better. You will never see a herbalist who is mingling with people in town. Oh boy, how far now? Wait till they happen. A herbalist. Where will you see him from? Even when he's alone, he's talking. He's talking to the spirit constantly. He's in the forest. He's getting help. He's talking to the spirit. He knows that he must consciously build a connection with that spirit, if the spirit will flow through him. There was a time when Daniel, the king, had a dream, and he met Daniel for interpretation. Daniel said, give us time to go and pray. He said, there's a God in heaven that reveals secrets. He was still learning the art. A point came when prayer became his life. If he shows up and they said there's a dream, he will begin to interpret immediately. He has stayed with the spirit to a level where the spirit travels with him. You don't spend time with God in prayer, forget, my brother, you will not amount to so much. I don't know how to emphasize this enough. The service of God is not that you are playing the keyboard. It's not that you are playing the drum. It's not that I'm preaching. That's not the service of God. The service of God is that I have the ability to demonstrate what God wants to do part time. So if I'm playing the keyboard and I cannot reveal God through that thing, I'm not serving God. I may be serving my ego and serving my pride, because that is what I'm demonstrating. And for us to come to a point where we can demonstrate God, His intention and His will, we must be fused to Him continuously. That's when God can seize your mind and talk through your mind. God can seize your voice and speak through your voice, because you are fused to Him. That's the service of God. And that's why we continuously service grace in prayer. You service it in prayer. Any grace you have that you don't service on the altar, soon enough will vanish. Not because God will retrieve the gift from you, but because you will no longer have the capacity to demonstrate it. Every spiritual man knows it. And most times, for some of us who have become serious with God, the devil will not fight you with sin. For the baby believer, the devil can trouble him with sin, but not for the one who is growing. When you start growing in God, what the devil troubles you with is distraction. Distraction. You know, you have come to a point where you have conquered sin. So he begins to distract you, so that you deplete spiritual energy, or you are not able to gather spiritual energy. Distraction is the greatest undoing of a spiritual man. You will not know why you fasted and prayed for 7 hours, and then the moment you came out, you saw 3 people and they want to talk, and then you stand with them. The moment you start talking, you lose your peace. The energy you have gathered, the devil wants you to dissipate it. When a spiritual man begins to grow in wisdom, he manages spiritual energy. He manages it like a child. He knows how to gather energy and keep it. He will not diffuse it. You can pray and build energy, and you will keep that energy for 3 days. You will leave your house, go somewhere, and manifest the dimensions of God. And people around you say, oh boy, but we've been there together since morning now. How come? They don't understand. There's a system of managing spiritual resources. You have learned it. So every time, anything that grieves the Holy Ghost, you avoid it. You avoid it. These ones are not taught by saying, read this scripture, read this one. It's organic life. It's organic life. You can't end up praying all through the day, and then you come out, prayer power that you generated for 12 hours, and then you deplete it in 30 minutes. That's why people keep praying, but they don't grow. They don't know why. People keep doing spiritual things. They don't move forward. They don't know why. They can't manage it. The Holy Ghost teaches us how to walk in the supernatural. And one of the ways is to keep engaging Him in prayer. You will build energy and you will keep it, so that every time God has a need, you have a virtue to
demonstrate. Jesus had enough virtue any day, any time. Any day, any time. They taught him virtue. He knew how to keep it. He gathered it consciously. He was going to pray for the centurion servant, and the woman with the issue of blood came and drew virtue from him. Instantly he turned. He said, "Who touched me?" He said, "Virtue have left me." He didn't build virtue to scatter anywhere. He kept it. He gathered it jealously. The woman drew virtue from him. He stopped. Everything he was doing, he stopped it immediately. He said, who touched me? Somebody have carried spiritual substance from me. These things are not meant to be wasted. People were running. Peter said men were thronging him. He knew how to keep virtue in the market. He knew how to keep virtue in the office. You can't take it away from him. He gives it only by faith. So virtue leaves Jesus only when he walks in the economy of faith. But there are many believers today who don't know how to manage virtue. Say, let's go for retreat. He went for retreat 3 days. And he came back that same afternoon. Everything he built in the retreat scatters. He's talking. The Holy Ghost is grieved, but he's not wise enough to know that, Kai. What I'm doing is depleting spiritual substance and to keep. That's why men like Jesus, they were always in the place of prayer, so that they will master spiritual things. He said, he that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. You are careful, you are modest, you are calm, so that you don't waste. The second way to manage virtue is to be saturated with the word of God. In Proverbs chapter 4 verse 23, he said, guard your heart with all diligence. Out of it are the issues of life. What are the issues of life? Virtue. Virtue. The substance of life. He said, guard it. But how do you guide your heart? In verse 20 to 22, before 23, he told us how to guide your heart. He said, my son, attend to my words. Give thy ears to my saying. Let them not depart from thy eyes. Keep them in the midst of thy heart. He said, for they are life to them that find them, and flesh, health to all their flesh. So the way to keep and to guide the virtues of God is to keep your heart saturated with the word of God. When a man is full with the word of God becomes a defense. That's why somebody tells you you will die. Instead of fear, then you hear a scripture jump out of you. I shall not die, but live to proclaim the words of God. Because the word of God has saturated. It will preserve the substance of reality in your spirit. When you see people toast to and fro, it's because they are not full of the word. Paul said in 1 Timothy 4:13 to 16, he said, until I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, and to doctrine. Give attendance. Pay your attention to reading, to exhortation, and to doctrine. He said in the ending part of that scripture in verse 16, he said, in doing this, you will both save thyself and them that hear thee. Any area you find challenge, or you find fear, or you find lack, it means that area, the word of God is not sufficient. The moment the word of God becomes sufficient, the substance of divinity begins to flow. That's why it said in 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 3, he said, he has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. But he said, it is through the revelation of the word. Why am I taking time to share this? Because you will labor. You will labor on the word of God until it becomes real to you. He said, give attendance to reading. You will sit down and open the scripture and read it for yourself. There's a place for exhortation where somebody preaches the word of God to you. It has its place. He said, but you sit on the word and read it. How many Christians make reading the word of God a culture? Very few. That's why in our world today, very few have the power of God. How many Christians? We read all sorts of things. If there's a news, you go and read it, you check it on YouTube, you read it on Facebook, read it on Twitter, but you can't read the word of God. He said, give attendance to reading. These are the things that the fathers did as a lifestyle. They did it meticulously, very diligently. You see men like Billy Graham. He said every morning he begins his day
with 3 capsules of the Psalms and 1 capsule of the Proverbs. Every morning, there are 150 chapters in the Psalms, 31 chapters in the Proverbs. So every month, he reads the whole Psalms and Proverbs. He said he does that one for inspiration. That's not his Bible study. 3 chapters of Psalm, 1 chapter of Proverbs every morning before he steps out of his house. And then you see Billy Graham talk in a stadium and 50,000 people give their heart to Christ. And for 66 years, Billy Graham was teaching only one gospel. For God so loved the world. For God so loved the world. And people don't get tired of hearing it. And you think it's just the scripture. The same message, every crusade, Billy Graham, for God so loved the world. And then he talks about the cross. For God so loved the world. And then he's winning souls to in thousands. He's saturated with the word. Reading. Reading. How many Christians read the word of God? Very few. That's why we are struggling in almost every part of our life. And then it looks as if God is not faithful. The time we waste in crying, if we invest it in studying the word, a lot of things in our lives will change. Joel Austin's mother, the wife of John Austin, she was diagnosed with an incurable disease. And they told her she had 3 days or so to live. After all the anointed men had prayed for her, no hope. It was concluded she had 3 days to live. And the woman gathered 40 scriptures on healing and began to talk them to herself every day. Began to talk those scriptures. In a day, she would recite those scriptures to herself more than 1,000 times. And 3 days passed, 3 months passed, 8 months passed, 10 years passed, she was still alive. There is something the word does to your spirit. You were created by the word, and the word is your spiritual DNA. That's why in 1 Peter 1:23 said, we are born of the incorruptible seed of the word of God. The word of God is your spiritual DNA. So if you want to keep the virtue of God alive and flowing through you, you must be rich in the word of God. Very rich in the word of God. He said, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Richly. Any area of your life where there is scarcity of the word of God, there is death. The devil doesn't even need to come. There is death already. Because your ignorance alone will incur death. He said, my people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. Many don't make the word of God their life. When things happen, they are finding out what will God say or what will God do. That you are trying to find out what God says about it means you are already defeated. A man who is a victor, if there's any challenge coming, the word of God jumps at it. The word of God jumps at it. Pastor Chris said he meditated on healing scriptures when he was trusting God to anoint him with a healing grace. He meditated on healing scripture until even if he hits his leg on the stone, he said, be healed. He has not even seen whether there's an injury, just be healed. He can't think otherwise. The word conditioned his mentality so much that a point came when he wants to pray for the sick. He doesn't even see the sickness. He sees their reality in the spirit. So you see sickness falling like a pack of cards before the man. And you say, is this man a spirit? Is the word of God that have made him that? That's why you hear him keep saying, what God wants to give you is not a healing. He said, it's the word of God in your spirit. That area where you have a challenge, there is a virtue in you that can conquer it. But the thing is the word of God there. The Bible, see, concerning us, the believer, we have a higher economy of spiritual operation. For the Hebrew, for the Jews, for instance, for them to be healed, they will say by his stripes, because there was a promise given to them in the law, by his stripes we were healed. So when Peter was talking to the Hebrew, he told them, by his stripes you were healed. But when Paul is talking to the Gentile, he doesn't refer them to the cross. He tells them, if that same spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead lives in you, he will quicken your mortal body. So it's a higher economy. You are not even subscribing to the scribe. There is an eternal life which is a healing mechanism on your inside. So you know what to do to generate healing from within you. It's a system of the word of God. Many are not full of the word of God. That's why we are defeated. Everything you need for life and godliness, the Bible says it has already been downloaded. It's already in you. But how can this thing find expression? unless the word of God activated. But many are not full of the word of God. Is virtue the problem for many people? No. The problem is prayerlessness and lack of engagement of the word of God. The apostle said something in Acts chapter 6 verse 4. He said, we will give ourselves continually to the ministry of prayer and the word. They know how to sustain virtue. So Peter, James, John were not doing mighty things because they were apostles. They did what? They gave themselves continually to the ministry of prayer and the word of God. You want to sustain the virtue of God in your life? What do you do? Prayer and the word of God. There are many of them, but these are two basics. I'm leaving you with things that you will remember. There's nothing so mystical about the supernatural. Listen, Jesus himself said something. He said, unto you is given to know the secrets of the kingdom. There's nothing so mystical. When you see a man doing dangerous things in God, there's nothing special about him. There are laws and secrets that his life is given to. If you commit your life to the same, you will be shocked what will happen with you. Men like Peter Tan were ordinary men, ordinary teachers of the word of God. But the point came where Peter Tan and his friend David, they decided to stay in the presence of God. And then they began to speak in tongues 48 hours, meditating on scripture 48 hours. After 6 months, his friend David became a prophet. They see the spirit friend the way I'm seeing this door. And they diagnose people. If he sees you, he will tell you, I see a dark cloud standing behind you. And he said, this cloud I'm seeing is not a demon. Based on what I'm seeing, he will begin to decipher the cloud and tell you, you had an attack 2 weeks ago based on the distance of that cloud from you. This is in the spirit realm. And then he begins to tell you about the accident you had 2 weeks ago, where you had the accident, what the accident was intended to do, and what you need to do now, else what will happen tomorrow. Is that a man? You will think, hey, this man has so... There is nothing special. They knew secrets, they committed themselves to it. And one of the two basic secrets is prayer and the word. But many don't make it their lifestyle. The time most of us spend on Facebook, if we give it to the word of God, our life will change in 3 months. I heard of a strange prophet from India, Savaraj. Savaraj did an experiment on tongues, speaking in tongues and the activation of the supernatural. And he locked himself in a room. He prayed in tongues for 4 hours. His spirit became charged. He stretched for 6 hours and he could begin to perceive things. Everything happening around the neighborhood, he was hearing it as if they were talking into his ears. He stretched for 8 hours and all of a sudden he began to see visions. He stretched for 12 hours and when he opened his eyes, the whole of the room became like a screen. He was seeing the supernatural like a screen. People grow in God as they experiment spiritual things. You are struggling to pray in tongues for 3 hours. Somebody has prayed in tongues as a lifetime until he is doing experiments with tongues. Those are the men that master spiritual things. They are masters because they've given their lives to this thing. Each and every one of us have the Holy Ghost, who is the governor of the spiritual. What do you do with the Holy Ghost? That's what will determine where you will get to with God. The question now is not who is more special than who. Jesus used 4 things when he was in this world. 1, he walked with the faith of the Son of God. 2, he walked with the Holy Spirit. 3, he walked with eternal life. 4, he walked with the ministry of angels. You and I have the 4 commodities. So Jesus had no advantage beyond you because he was the Word of God. The question is, what do you do with these 4 things? And one of the ways to engage it is what I've shown you. You see, I had the mind of making this a revival meeting before. But the Holy Ghost whispered to my heart. I received the knowing of the Spirit of God. He said, share these basic truths. There are many who desire to walk with the Lord, but they don't know how to go about it. There are many who desire to walk with the Lord. These are things virtually everybody knows. But the problem is the lack of engagement. You know these things, but you can't engage it. You know the place of obeying the Holy Spirit to activate things in your life, but you can't obey. The Holy Ghost troubles one person for 3 months. He fast. And 3 months passes, he doesn't fast. And after 3 months, the desire for fasting vanishes. He doesn't know he has lost the season. A season has been lost. A window has been closed. The Holy Ghost comes to say, pray. He wants to sleep at night. He loses his peace. He wakes up in the night to drink water and pray. And he continues like that for 1 month. And then suddenly that voice dies. The person doesn't know he has lost the season. So the Lord brought me to re-echo these things in our heart. These things mean more than just a call. They are summons. Moses had this body in Egypt. The time Moses, God began to trouble him about the children of Egypt, they had been in captivity for 390 years. God had spoken to Abraham that they were going to be in bondage for 400 years. Then they will be delivered by a mighty hand. The time was drawing close, and God began to trouble Moses. When Moses missed that window, it was in the next 40 years that God visited again. So the children of Israel were in bondage for extra 30 years because Moses lost the window by acting in the flesh. Some of the things some of our families are suffering is because we fail to respond to the promptings of the Holy Spirit. Could it be that the reason your children are not married is because when God was troubling you, pray in the night, you refuse to pray for those 3 weeks. That's why your children are 30-something, they are not married. Could that be the reason? Could it be because God troubled you to fast for 3 months, 4 years ago, you refused? That's the reason you are jobless today? Could that be the reason? Because the principality that was resisting your success, there was a window of grace that was open. And when God was troubling you, say, rise now, you refused. Could that be the reason why you don't have a job? And you are going to Lagos, Abuja every day seeking jobs or meeting appointments. Meanwhile, God moved on your account before now. The elders and the patriarchs, they understood the language of prompting. Elijah had locked the heaven for 3.5 years until a burden came. And he left everything and went to Horeb. And he prayed there until God spoke. The reason they are invincible is not because they are born invincible. They knew the things to do to become invincible. You know the same thing. I said the problem we have is the problem of engagement. Could it be that you are not married till now because when the Lord said pray, you took it for granted. And then the season of favor that God opened over your life was closed. And after that season, you are attending vigils for 3 years. Nothing has happened. See, there are kairos moments in the spirit. Jesus was entering Jerusalem in Luke 19:44. He said, there will be gnashing of teeth. He said, no stone will be left on top. He said, because thou knowest not the times of thy visitation. Could it be that you have missed your visitation too many times because you took for granted the promptings of the Holy Spirit? Could that be the reason why your sick soul is not working? Your vigils are not working? Because when God prompted you, you didn't respond. Could it be that you are the reason why you are stagnant all this while and you think somebody is bewitching you? When God brought your visitation, you were not there. The worst thing that happens to a man is to sleep in the day where it should be sown. Because in the day of harvest, it will be with lack.
I want to talk to the young people now for the next 30 minutes before we begin to pray. What do you think life is? Have you sat down to contemplate the meaning of life before? What is the intelligence behind life? Have you sat down to contemplate why God gave you a nation in the first place? Most of us live for our emotions, for our appetite, for the things we desire. When we are angry, our lives take the direction of anger. When we are excited, our lives take the direction of excitement. Have you asked yourself, the one that put emotion in you, for what reason did he plant the emotion in the first place? Have you asked yourself, what role is your emotion supposed to play
I should participate with the Holy Ghost to fulfill purpose. Have you asked yourself before? Most of us, when we take action based on intelligence. We judge this, and because this is reasonable, this is to our advantage, we take this action. Have you asked yourself, before the intelligent dimension of you was put in you, what did the one who put it have in mind? Have you asked some of these questions before? What would have happened to you if you didn't have emotion? Would your life have gone in the direction it's going? What would have happened to you if you were not an intelligent being? Would your life have gone in the direction it's going? If you suggest something very quickly, that your life is more important than what you feel. Your life is more important than what you think. And that is why we come to God first to draw a theory for the direction that we should go. I'm saying this because most of us here are young people. A time will come when you will breathe your last. Have you contemplated the possibility of where you will go to and what God will say concerning you? Now that you are young, you think you have time to do what you want to do because you love what you are doing. You think you have time to do what you want to do because you feel what you are doing is right. Have you checked with God to find out what will you have me do? The reason we receive virtue, the reason we manage virtue is because the king has something in mind. And the degree to which we deploy virtue in the direction of what the king desires is what defines the quality of our lives. The quality of your life is not defined by what you have. The quality of your life is not defined by how you look. The quality of your life is defined by the degree to which you deploy it to the service of God. What has God created you to do, and to what degree are you deploying your life? That's the first question I want to leave with young people this morning. If you have not come to that point where your life is spent for God, you have not begun to live. You may think you are doing well, my brother. Breath is only a lifespan. It's only an airtime that God gives you to find expression here. When breath is taken away, you will return to true reality. Have you asked yourself the question, by what means do you think? By what means do you imagine? What will happen after now? Where will you go to? What happens to your imagination? What happens to your spirit? Have you contemplated this thing? The scriptures tell us clearly that God had a plan before he created us. And the reason we find God and seek God is to find that thing he wanted us to do when he designed us. John went to heaven and the 24 elders began to educate him. They told him everything was created for his pleasure. You inclusive, me inclusive. If I will give him pleasure, what is that one thing that I need to do before I can give him pleasure? Have you discovered that thing? If you have not discovered that thing, then walking with God every day is a sentence that you cannot do without. Until you find it, you have not begun to live. If you take a statistics among young people, 90% or more don't know why they are born. We are doing things because we see it in others, we copy from others, and we think we will have value. By the time the veil of the divide is lifted, you will discover that you didn't live in this world. You were here, you breathed oxygen with everybody, but you didn't live. Because when God begins to take census, it's what he sent you here to do that will determine whether you live or not. Many are not alive. Many are living dead because they've not found why they are here. They are like corpses walking on the street. They are like robots powered by many intelligence and many desires. The first quality of service we bring to God is the service of our life. That's why we have virtue. That's why we manage virtue. So that we can bring to God the service of our life. Our life will be in the hand of God for him to do what he wants to do. Today, you are in Bayelsa, not because you were born here. You are in Bayelsa because God wants you to do something here. That's when your life becomes a service. If a man have not come to a point where his life is a service, he is not relevant with God. And a man who is not relevant with God, it would have been better he was not born. What is that thing that God wants to do in Bayelsa today? That is because of Emmanuel that God can do it. That is God's life. If you think life has anything to do with oxygen, biology has deceived you. Life has nothing to do with oxygen. Everything we call life is summarized in the will of the Father. Scripture said, concerning me, it is written in the volumes of the book. I come to do that. What is it that God wants to do that is because of you that that thing will be done? I was telling them in Unobrito before yesterday, I said for the 12 apostles, their lives were pillars that God was using to sustain the new Jerusalem. The new Jerusalem will start because those guys lived, they were the foundation of that city. And you live for it, you are not alive, you are a dead man, because the first place of service is the service of a life unto the Lord. Is your life being poured out as a drink offering? Who said our lives is poured out as a drink offering? That's a man who is alive. He said, the life I live is no longer I that live it, it is the one who died for me. I live by the faith of the Son of God. Are you still holding to your ambitions? Are you still holding to your emotions? Are you still holding to your proclivities? You have not found the whispers of Zion. By the time you begin to hear the whispers of the God of heaven, your life will take a new direction. Jesus did not live in Nazareth because he loved the water. He did not live there because he was born there. The Bible said he beat his pen by the regions of Sidon, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, the land of Zebulun, the land of Naphtali. Jesus lived there because by prophecy, that's the only place he was supposed to live. By Esa, are you here because you think it's a place of greener pasture? You have not begun to live. Either you are still a baby or you are a dead man. What is it that God wants to do that your life is the only vent through which God can do it? You are still living for yourself? You think life is about self? You think life is about ambition? You think life is about desire? You were not well taught. Life is about the will and the interest of the King. Don't deceive yourself. You have no service to render to God if your life is first of all not given to him. God doesn't receive anything from any man whose life has not first of all been given to him. Go and read the whole scriptures. There is not one man God used that he first of all did not receive his life. For Abraham, he said, leave thy country, leave thy kindred, leave thy father's house, and go to the land that I will give you. What did he do to Abraham? He changed his nationality, he changed his kindred, he changed his family name. Abraham lost everything that gave him relevance as a man. When you don't have a country, you don't have a kindred, you don't have a family, what is your identity? You have no identity anymore. Abraham lost everything that made him a man. He lost his life. He committed his life to God before God could use him. What is it you are still holding back from God? If your life has not become a sacrifice in the hand of God, you cannot provide service. Forget it. You can be singing in the choir. You can be leading the... You can be preaching every Sunday. Don't preach it now. You are making noise. Because God will first of all receive you before he receives what you have to offer. Ask your life to become an offering in the hand of God. To church as a religious gathering. Because you were born Christian. That means if you were born a Muslim, you would have been a Muslim. There's nothing special about you. What is it you are holding back from God? Tonight you are going to drop it at the altar. Everything you don't give to God becomes a weapon of self-destruction. The Bible spoke about the Gadarene maniac. Satan gave him a stone and he used that stone to injure himself. Everything you keep from God is a weapon of self-destruction. The devil is deceiving you. You will use your ambition to destroy yourself. You will use your emotion to destroy yourself. You will use your appetite to destroy yourself. Many young ladies with future have been destroyed because they have appetites. They hid it away from God. The devil used it to destroy them. Many men with ambition have been killed because the ambition drove them away from God. What is it you are hiding from God? Today, the great one comes for your life. The first point of service is a point of total surrender to God. It's not about the gift you have. God is not so impressed about your voice. Have you gone to heaven before? The Bible said there were thousands upon thousands. An angel can sing better than a thousand choir made of men. God is not moved by your voice. It is the supply of life that gives him glory. What life are you supplying? What's the quality of service you are supplying? Is that the degree to which your life is surrender? Are you surrendered this morning? You are a joker in church. You are just in the church. You don't know how to serve spirit. Make church spirit the first question they ask. It's not human between. You must be first of all before he can hit you. With standing, Elijah said, before God, whom I stand? Before God, whom I stand? You cannot serve a God that you are not giving to until you are so proud. You cannot be used of God. Do you know?
know who John the Baptist was? His father is in the rank of priests. In the picture, of priests are the most privileged people in society. The guy separated himself from his father and walked and looked. He was putting on coarse and white honey. What he had for redness when coming to king, how can the son of a priest become a papa? Because there is a root they need to serve. That's something to do. His life, first of all, must be sacrificed. And when he talked, there was no prophet in the land, but he came up and he took it. He was called the prophet. And John revealed about his destiny. He said, I am the voice of the one cracked in the wilderness. If the guy has ambition for money, he wouldn't have been in the wilderness. And if he was not in the wilderness, he would not have fulfilled that prophecy. Your ambition is taking you from purpose. Your ambition is taking you away from destiny. From Jacob to take the word of his father and go to the wilderness. It is in the wilderness that he fulfilled the prophecy. He said, the voice of the one cracked in the wilderness. He said, the one that sent me, the same said unto me. Did you read about Moses? Moses was a prince in Egypt. Moses stood in the courts of Pharaoh. But the Bible said when Moses was come of age, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. God took the man now. So he had to separate. In order to separate, what gave him the right to be the prince of Egypt? Because he's the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Do you know what Moses was doing when he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter? He was telling Egypt, I don't want to be your prince anymore. Because there is a place in the house of God. I need to serve in the house of God. And God did not just make Moses a prince. In Exodus chapter 7 verse 1, they say, I have made you a god unto Pharaoh. The God that had been a prince in the flesh, but he rejected flesh and chose God. Something happened. He became a god. I still delay yourself where you are because you don't want to commit your life to God for serving. God will never use you until you first of all give him your life. Giving your life to Christ is different from being born again. When you were born again, you receive the life of God. When you give your life to Christ, you want to serve. At that time, you don't have a decision over your destiny anymore. You can have a choice and go through good to good. That's the direction you are going. It doesn't matter what your family say. Those are the men that can change the world. Such men are lacking in the church because we are top ambition. We are top ambition. We keep top function. Which that we tell you of God in the forthcoming revival are the men that are willing to give up their life. Are you one of them? God is not only interested in using you. God wants to boast with you. God wants to show you to the devil and say, have you seen Emmanuel? The devil is bragging in the spirit that he's the God over this world. God is looking for sons that he can boast to the devil. Have you seen Victor? Have you seen patience? Have you seen Patra? That's what God wants to do with your life. But the life of the flesh cannot host the glory. The Bible said, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Why do you hold on to a life that cannot host the glory? The only life that can host the glory of God is the life of God himself. And that's why you must give up your life for the life of God to flow through you. Many are holding on to their lives. We can't amount to anything in God. That's why you can't pray. That's why you can't give. Because your ambition still controls you. Tonight, the first kind of service we will render to the Lord is to offer our lives as sacrifice. And this is not a doctrinal issue. We will pray it. We will pray it. We are going to pray in tongues for the next 40 minutes. And we will pray like you have never prayed before. Until that thing that keeps you from God breaks, then we will do a ministration of the Spirit.